Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 357 all stanzas. When Zion in her low estate was brought from bondage by the Lord, in ecstasy we sang for joy, by grace and wondrous love restored. 1-4 of Psalter 357.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 11. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Revelation chapter 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, and that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters, to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven, saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and Thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that Thou shouldest give reward unto Thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear Thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in His temple the ark of His testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, we have read a little portion of Thy holy word, that which was revealed unto Thy servant, in which Thou didst permit him to write, that the nations also of this world may receive it out of His hand, and that we may be given to know something, though it is from our side with great darkness and in such a great mystery, and yet we may read of Thy great glory, who that Thou art even among all the hosts that are about Thee, who do magnify and who do glorify Thee moment by moment. Then what a contrast is seen with us as we are upon the face of this world, a world which has left Thee, a world which is lying in great wickedness. But not only this world, but also within our own hearts. Thou hast said unto the Pharisees that they were whited sepulchres, and within were dead men's bones, all full of filthiness and wretchedness, in our own self-righteousness. And Lord, what can we say to Thee? Oh, we cannot worship Thee as we have read that those do, that are about Thy throne even in these moments. Yet we are called to do so, each and every one upon the face of this world. Oh, there is but a small beginning in the life of Thy true church. Lord, may Thou also remember us. Give us then in this afternoon hour a little impression of Thy greatness, of Thy glory, of thy righteousness, of thy holiness, that we may come to thee in a right and in a fit way, having no rights from our own side, because we have forfeited everything by our own iniquities. Lord, that we may come as those who are unworthy, as those who deserve only to be cut off and cast away from thee, but that we may come even pleading upon that one basis which thou art able to hear us, or that is upon that which thou hast accomplished thyself in and through thine only begotten Son. Lord, that thou may see us, that thou may look upon us in him, each and every one of us, or that we also may each one be cut off from Adam and be engrafted into Christ, and that we also may be enabled to stand at thy throne on that great day of days, and that we may not be cast out when we are wearing our own filthy garments, and when we have refused that wedding garment which thy Son has purchased for the sake of his own church. Lord, by nature, then we uphold ourselves in our own righteousness, and we will not humble ourselves before thee. Wilt thou not leave us to ourselves, but become too strong for us? Do draw our wretched and sinful hearts, and that we might learn to love thee, to seek thee, and that in thy own time we may also be given to find thee. And that is all an impossibility, except from thy own side thou wilt come to seek after us. Thou as that great shepherd, that thou may come to seek after thy lost sheep, gone lost in our father Adam, and not able to come again to thee. Lord, remember us. To whom else can we go? And thou alone hast the words of eternal life. And with thee, Lord, it is but speaking the word, and then we shall be healed. Thou canst do it in one moment for each and every one of us. There is nothing that is too hard or too difficult for thee. Lord, wilt thou show that we are thy servant, and that thou art also working through us, and when thou wilt use us as a little clay in thy holy fingers, that thou wilt use us as a mouthpiece to bring many to fear thy name, to walk according to thy truth. That many may appear in that great day of days, being placed by thee not on the left hand, but being placed on the right hand, that we also may receive that which thou hast accomplished within our own hearts. Wilt thou look upon each of us also in all the natural needs of this life? Be with all those that are in distress, in the particular circumstances that they may be in this life. Lord, it is all known to thee, but that through all these ways of thy providence, the ways in which thou dost lead each one of us in this life, that we may be brought not to rebel against thee, and that we may not raise up our fist to heaven, but that we may be brought to bow, that we may be brought to acknowledge thy righteous judgments, and that we may be brought to seek thee and to find thee while thou still art to be found. Wilt thou be with the little children who receive continually treatments? Lord, thou knowest the conditions of their bodies. May thou heal them further. May thou heal them even within their own hearts. and look upon all those that are handicapped, the blind, the lame, the deaf, and the dumb in this world. Wilt thou be with all those that suffer for thy name's sake? Wilt thou remember and encourage them also? And Lord, give them a token from above that thou art alive, and that thou art over all the circumstances which they cannot see over, and that what is too much and too powerful and too mighty for them, that is all within thy counsel. And thou canst but speak one word, and it shall become different in a moment. And so may they be given to bow themselves also under thy divine hand. Wilt thou lead those who are called to rule and to reign over us and our dear children? O Lord, turn their hearts to fear thee. We are not able, and we can but let our voice be known unto them, which is also our responsibility. But Lord, who can change their heart? We may read in thy revealed word that thou hast the heart of kings in thy hand, and thou turnest them whithersoever that thou wilt. Lord, look upon us in mercy, and turn us again, that their eyes may go open, and that thy law may again be brought into the foreground, and that thy people may be glad. Be with all that are on the battlefields in this world. Lord, may thou cause the hearts to melt under thee, and may thou cause the weapons to be put away, that the swords may be beaten into plowshares, and that thy kingdom may come, and that it may reign also in those places, and that thou may give peace. But Lord, then we can read also in thy word that in the end of this world, that the wars and the rumors of war shall increase. O Lord, that thou would give us then to open our eyes and to behold all that takes place, that we might learn to hasten for the sake of our life, because our time that is obviously so short. Lord, wilt thou impress these matters upon our hearts? Because we also are seekers after the world and all that is therein, and we think to live here forever, and so call our lands after our own names. But we dwell in no continuing city. Lord, that we might seek one to come, that that may be the fruit also upon our labors amongst this people. Remember our school, the principals and teachers and all those that from day to day labor for on the behalf of our children and youth. Oh, do instruct those that instruct them. Give the fear of thy name in truth, Lord, that it may also be in the hearts of our dear children. Wilt thou make each one of us to become as a little child? Thy Spirit does make a man teachable, Lord. Then thou takest away all that we think and all of our knowledge and all of our experience. And thou makest us to receive thy word in all its simplicity and in all its power and truth. May this be experienced by each and every one of us, that thy kingdom also may come in the midst of us as a congregation, and that we may not be left alone. Lord, help us then to bring thy word in this afternoon hour, that it may be as a sharp two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow. Bring thou it into our hearts. Glorify thy name, forgive our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 200, the first three stanzas. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea, earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. And they that wilds inhabit shall their worship bring. Kings shall render tribute, nations serve our King. The last collection today is for the National Disaster Fund, Psalter 200, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Congregation, we ask your attention in this afternoon hour for Lord's Day 48. Lord's Day 48, question 123. Which is the second petition? Answer, Thy kingdom come. That is, rule us, so by Thy word and Spirit, that we may submit ourselves more and more to Thee. Preserve and increase Thy church. Destroy the works of the devil and all violence which would exalt itself against Thee, and also all wicked counsels devised against Thy holy word, till the full perfection of Thy kingdom take place, wherein Thou shalt be all in all. So far, our Lord's Day. A petition for the coming of God's kingdom. First, the existence of this kingdom. Second, the government of this kingdom. Third, the preservation of this kingdom. And fourth, the full perfection of this kingdom. A petition for the coming of God's kingdom. First, the existence. Second, the government. Third, the preservation. Fourth, the full perfection of this kingdom. Art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I am a king. That was the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Upon the question of that heathen sovereign Pilate. That answer was not so easy for Pilate to believe. Why not, children? Because Pilate could see nothing of any evidences in this world that the Lord Jesus was a king. There was no pomp, there was no outward, there was no earthly splendor. And therefore also, the Pharisees, the scribes, they did not believe that the Lord Jesus was the King of Israel. And why no earthly splendor? Because he is no earthly king. Is not Christ then the king? Is not Christ then the sovereign over this whole universe? That question actually requires some explanation. A king, what is a king? A king that is a sovereign ruler. A king is one who is chief over the whole land. He has universal power. He has universal authority. He speaks and it is done. A king. Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, David, Solomon. Great kings in this world. And yet, they also had a delegated power. That place of kingship was given unto them. The Lord Jesus has even called the devil himself the prince of this world. Thus, even Satan has a certain delegated power that's given unto him. He rules by permission in this world insofar as the Lord permits. So we see in the life of Job. Who is then the supreme power? Who is then the supreme prince over this whole universe? That is God. That is our creator. He is supreme over every king, prince, queen in this world. And he speaks, and it is done. So it was in the creation. So it is in the upholding of this whole universe. That is God. Do we not read in the Word of God, however, that Nathanael comes to the Lord Jesus and he says unto the Lord Jesus, he says, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. That is true. And the Lord Jesus himself has spoken of his own kingship. And then he ascended into heaven. And then he also said to his disciples that all power that is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We read that he sat down then at the right hand of power. That is, in his hand, all the power in this world that is given. And yet we read that there will come a time that he will again deliver up the kingdom to the Father. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Thus, that power to rule, to reign, that is also delegated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a certain power that is given unto the Lord Jesus to rule. How does he rule? He rules by the authority of his own Father. That authority is given to him in his office. For what purpose was he given an office? He was made a mediator between God and his elect. Thus, he rules, he reigns over his church, receiving his authority from his Father. For whose sake then will all of those enemies, when he has the supreme power, for whose sake will all of those enemies be destroyed? That will be for the sake of his own church. Thus, it is not a natural kingdom, but it is a spiritual kingdom over which the Lord Jesus is set by his Father to reign. That spiritual kingdom, that kingdom of grace, that kingdom of God, that is a kingdom that extends itself over this whole world. That is over every nation, over every race of people, over every individual in this world. That kingdom of Christ that is in that way without limitation. And not only does it stretch itself over every kingdom, but it actually overreaches time itself. So that it is a kingdom which is not only in time, but it is a kingdom that extends even to eternity. Thus it is called the kingdom of heaven. It is now this kingdom for which the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world. It is now this kingdom for whom the Lord Jesus has made himself into a servant. It is now for this kingdom that he has placed himself under the law. That is a paradox. That is a mystery. That is an unfathomable wonder. And that is the kingdom for which the church is taught to pray, "Thy kingdom come." What does that mean? Our Father say in the first place, that is to rule us. So by thy word and spirit, that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. Thus our second thought, the government of this kingdom. Every kingdom has a government. A kingdom, you understand, young people, will not last very long when every man will do that which is right in his own eyes. Thus, authority set up by the Lord, also within the church, also within our own homes, that is given that there may be order. And when there is government, then there are laws made by those who are set in authority, the governors. Laws, rules made by which the subjects of that kingdom must be governed in order that everything may be done decently and in order. Why is there such disorder in our world? Well, that is not difficult to see, because we have left that law of God. And our fathers here speak about thy word, that is the word of God, that is the law of God, that is the revelation of the will of God unto man, in that manner in which the Lord is speaking unto men. How does the Lord speak unto us? How does the Lord show to us his law? How does he show his will? That is, by giving to us his word. That word under which every man in this world is called to bow and to submit himself. Being a creature of God, created by him, and receiving by him his law, his revelation. But it is that word, it is that law, against which man in his fallen nature now rebels. From where do we receive it? Our father Adam, who even in the state of innocence has rebelled against that law of God. But our fathers do not speak here in the first place about the wickedness of the world in which we dwell. And why not? Because they have felt the rebellion against that law of God within their own heart. Thy kingdom come, that is, rule us, so by thy word and spirit that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. That is self-knowledge. They say, Lord, we lack. We lack submission to thy will. We lack submission to thy word. We lack submission to thy holy law. Lord, our heart that is so rebellious against thee, against thy statutes, that is the fruit of our fall. That is what is laying within our nature. That is because we are the offspring of our Father who wanted to be as God himself. Therefore, we do not want a king. Therefore, it is very understandable, young people, that also you do not want authority. Then it is very understandable that there comes a time that there is some rebellion within your heart, even against your father, against your mother. But what is it? It is the rebellion that is in our hearts against God himself. And that rebellion that lies not only in you, that rebellion that lies within the heart of that church of God also. And yet there is a great difference. And what is that great difference? There is also something else that lays in their heart. And what is that? That is sorrow. That is grief. That it is so within their heart. That is then that struggle of that new man. Then he does not desire that it would be so within him. That there would be rebellion, but if only that he may submit himself always to that holy law of God, that he may always receive that will of God, even as a little child. That is why that new man that is praying, that new man that is beseeching, he is asking of the Lord with the servant of the Lord, Lord, teach me thy statutes. Lord, teach me to do thy will. Lord, lead me in that land of uprightness. Because I am not in that land of myself. That is a confession of the corruption, of the evil, of the rebelliousness of that natural heart. So rule us by thy word and spirit. By thy word, thus we receive that rule of law within his word. But then also they say, by thy spirit. Thus the person, the third person of that Holy Trinity, who makes that power of the Lord to be experienced, to be felt within the heart of his church. That spirit that has the heart of every man, also the kings in his hand, and who turns that heart whithersoever that he will. Thus, that church prays, we read, turn us, O God, and then we shall be turned. Draw us, then we will run after thee. Draw our hearts, O Lord, away from all the vanity of this world. Draw it away from all the corruption that is lying in our own flesh. Lord, make us honest and upright before thee. Take away the hypocrisy that dwells within our heart. Lord, strip away the false hopes, the false expectations. Keep me from building on a sandy foundation. Make me to love thee. Make me to serve thee. Draw nigh to thee. Let me live that close life to thee. There is nothing, congregation, that gives a man so much rest as to bow under that supreme authority. That he may have a desire in his heart to walk in the ways of the Lord. Read in our catechism of that only comfort in life and in death. What is it? Oh, to know God.
that I am not my own, but that I belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. That is not only to be delivered out of the pit, but what is that pit that they wish to be delivered out of? That is sin itself. That they may be given that new life. And what a blessing when we are brought to such a place that we only have to follow. That is then part of that peace, that rest, that remaineth unto the people of God. The Lord Himself takes over the responsibility for that people, and that they may be as the little chickens that are brought under the wings of that hen. What a blessed, peaceful place. When God's children may be so one, may be so united to the will of the Lord, even though it goes so against their own flesh. But it is only by moments in this world. Why? Because their rest is not here below. We see that further in our next thought. There are enemies in that kingdom. Thy kingdom come. That is, preserve and increase thy church. Destroy the works of the devil and all violence which would exalt itself against thee, and also all wicked counsels devised against thy holy word. Preserve and increase thy church. Why does that church need to be preserved? Needs to be preserved because there are enemies. There is so much that is coming against that church in order that that church may be destroyed. That is coming against that church on the outside, but also what is coming on the inside. Because Satan is a spirit, then he is working not only in the temporal matters, the providential matters, but also within the heart of the church itself. Thus, the church needs to be preserved from that prince of darkness. Secondly, they need to be preserved because they are not able to protect and preserve themselves. They could not bring themselves into that kingdom, nor can they preserve themselves now that the Lord has brought them into that kingdom. They have no strength, and they have no ability to preserve themselves. We read of that church of Ephesus that she left her first love. She could not bring herself in, nor could she keep herself in. We read of that church of Smyrna that she would be tried 10 days. There would be tribulation. There will be persecution. There will be poverty. There will be those that are cast into prison. Who then, under all the persecution, will be able to preserve himself? What do we read of Job? Job was a perfect and an upright man. A man that feared God and eschewed evil. But when Satan is let loose upon Job, then even Job came to that place where he cursed the day of his birth.
We read of the church in Pergamos, that there shall be the doctrine of Balaam, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. So that prince of darkness, he is going to come in an attempt to deceive the true people of the Lord. If it were possible, he will deceive the very elect. Which one of that people does not have a heart in and of itself that would be deceived? Thus, when they are not preserved by the Lord, that church shall certainly fall. Thyatira, we read of that woman Jezebel. Then she spreads there her pernicious doctrines. Philadelphia, those that say they are Jews and are not. Deceit, hypocrisy. That lies in the heart of everyone, also in the heart of God's children. In Laodicea, those that are rich and that are increased with goods. Oh, is it any wonder that that church needs to be preserved? There is no end to all the devices that Satan is using as he comes against the true church of the Lord. And it is no different today than it was then. That church needs to be preserved by the Lord Himself. The world congregation that has so much influence in the church. We are in a day that we live in, intoxicated with prosperity. How shall Satan not be able to draw also even the people of the Lord so that they will not fall? How have we not lost in the day in which we live in that awe for authority? That there is no bowing under authority in this world. That the authority of parents is also so broken down. And then in a special way, then we have lost that holy awe for that supreme authority. That holy awe for God Himself. Are there not many Bible studies in our land? Yes, there are. And that is good. When we will search, when we will study that holy scriptures. But when man will lift himself up with his knowledge, then he also will fall with that same knowledge. Even when it is the outward knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. We can know the Bible congregation from cover to cover. And we hope, boys and girls, that you study that holy Word of God. But we can memorize it from the first word until the last word. But when we miss that holy awe for God, then it will all testify against us. Where do we hear that man who will come as Abraham? Behold, I have taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. How do we approach unto that holy God? Do we not hear in our days an unholy boldness, even in the public coming before that throne of God? an unholy casualness that is not fit for a holy God, that would bring that holy God down, as it were, unto the level of a man. Oh, how the devil comes to seek to destroy us with our dear children, to make men to believe that they have a right to the promises of the church of God, so that men are saved who have never gone lost and who have never become a sinner before God. Men taking hold of the promises of God who have never seen that they lie under the curse of the Lord. Man setting himself upon that rock and glorifying that name of Jesus, who has never known what it was to be in that pit. Oh, how the devil seeks by his doctrines, even in twisting that word of God, to destroy men as we travel with that holy word of God itself to that never-ending eternity. With our form of religion, God and mammon, they are served together as if this is possible. We want the pleasures of the world, and at the same time, we want to be considered to be the people of the Lord. That law of God trampled underfoot, even by those who make a profession of godliness. That we can hardly see anymore the difference between the true church of God and the world. Why? Because our pilgrim life that is so far gone. How is it with the knowledge of the truth of that word of God? Or is the truth of that word still understood? John says, believe not every spirit, for there are many false prophets that are gone out into the world, and therefore a man must try the spirits whether they be of God, who is able to do so. It seems that every spirit that is received by men, that there is no discernment between the spirits. Those that are rich and that are increased with goods, the rich young ruler, that he is received as the true child of God simply because he says that he is so. While those that are poor in spirit are despised. The Peninnas are received. The Hannas are rejected. And then we are in complete confusion. Then we have turned everything upside down. Then that law of God that has lost its discovering power, that gospel of the Lord that has lost its sweet savor, then we have forgotten that it is an afflicted and a poor people, and that shall learn to trust in that name of the Lord. And when that is now lost, then we have lost all the power of religion by the Holy Spirit based on that precious blood of His only begotten Son. Oh, how the church needs to be preserved. The church is destroyed for lack of knowledge. That is not lack of outward knowledge. No, we have much outward knowledge, but it is the lack of true saving knowledge. Instructed by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, is there not a reason that the church would pray, Thy kingdom come, that is, preserve and increase thy church. Oh, increase thy church, yes, not just in numbers. That it may be also in numbers, yes, and that many more may come to that experimental knowledge of God's truth. Oh, the only preservation that we can hope upon, the only hope that we may have as a congregation, as a denomination, is that the Lord would come, that the Lord would convert men, that the Lord would work, that the Lord would send forth His Holy Spirit. Preserve and increase thy church. Increase the knowledge of thy church of that free and sovereign grace. Oh, teach it to them by experience. Not that they may increase in their own estimation, but that they may increase in their own unworthiness. And when they may increase in their own unworthiness, then they shall decrease in their estimation of themselves, and then he shall increase. Let us sing. Psalter 205. 1, 2, 3, 11, and 12. O, wherefore hast thou cast us off? O God, our God of old, why art thou angry with thy sheep, the sheep of thy own fold, the sheep of thy own fold? 1, 2, 3, 11, and 12 of Psalter 205. our last thought, the full perfection of this kingdom, till the full perfection of thy kingdom take place, wherein thou shalt be all in all. So often in the life of that true church, then it seems like the devil rules, like the Lord does not have the supreme authority, and that in the end the devil shall have the victory. David is promised the kingdom, but David is afraid he shall never receive that kingdom, because there is but one step, he says, between me and death. Thus that true church, they cannot see so often how that the Lord is standing above, how that the Lord as the King, he is directing everything that shall also be to their own profit. The providences of the Lord, they are so often seeming against them. Asaph is not able to understand it. Jacob, he says, all these things are against me. The children of Israel, they think that the deliverance of the Lord that is so close by, they are already rejoicing in it. And when the wrath of Pharaoh increases, and when their bonds increase, but the perception and the reality are often two different things. It cannot but be that the Lord is going to prevail over that prince of darkness. Christ has bruised that head of that serpent. He has received the victory over death, hell, and the grave. And he is exalted at that right hand of power. But now the devil, he shall always, to the last day in this world, continue to bruise his heel, that is, his church, unto the end. We read that together in the book of Revelations, how that John has seen two witnesses. And it seemed like the devil had the victory. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, but also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and shall make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Thus, the earth rejoices, the world rejoices, when it seems like the devil has the victory over the true church of God. The servants of God are slain, but they are mistaken. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. The closer that we come to that great judgment day, the closer that we come to the end of this world, the more it is going to seem like Satan, like the devil, has the victory. That Satan, with his whole world, will be rejoicing over their victory over the true church of God, that afflicted people of the Lord, so that the closer that we come to the end of this world, the more that the church is going to be waiting, the more that the church is going to be looking for that second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more that they will pray, as the Lord has instructed his disciples, "Thy kingdom come, till the full perfection of thy kingdom take place, wherein thou shalt be all in all." For the church, that is the day of their death, but in a special way, that great judgment day, when also their body will join their soul in glory. And then congregation, the warfare ceases. Then that enemy that is cast into outer darkness, and then that old man of sin is put to death. And that body of sin that is laid in the grave, and that church militant that becomes a church triumphant. And all the poverty of that church that is taken away when they will receive the desire of their heart in that blessed communion with the Lord. For they shall hunger no more, and they shall thirst no more, neither shall the sunlight upon them, nor any heat. For that Lamb that is in the midst of the throne, he shall feed them, and he shall lead them, we read, unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Thy kingdom come. The full perfection that is by moments in the warfare, so desired by the true church of God. Congregation, is it also our desire? Thy kingdom come. May our soul ever bow under that blessed law, under that blessed word of the God of heaven. Is that ever our delight? Where will that bowing that that church will do forever and forever? Where does it begin? That does not begin in eternity. That bowing and that worshiping begins here. Begins in the time that it ever become your sorrow, that you could not bow, that you cannot worship as you ought to worship. That natural heart considers that law of God to be a bondage. And it is no bondage, but it is the greatest freedom. Obedience is no bondage, no sin. Sin is bondage. Was that ever your bondage? That you desired to be delivered from? Thy kingdom come. With grace comes a love for that kingdom, for that king of that kingdom, for that church, for her welfare, mourning for the poor condition, for the poor estate of that kingdom in this world. And it is going to go for that people through a fiery trial. But one thing is sure, What is that? That is their victory. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of that kingdom that God hath prepared for them that love him? And when that chief shepherd shall appear, then they shall receive a crown of glory, shall never fade away. Thy kingdom come. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O we who are so tied to this world and to all that is here below, wilt thou instruct and teach us within our hearts, make that kingdom a reality, even within us, then we shall also pray as thou commandest. Grant thy blessing on thy word. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Bring us safely to our homes. Then, Lord, it is yet thy Sabbath day. And when we are in our own places, and when we may have time to read thy word, to search thy word, and that which is based thereon, that it may be the desire also of our youth and of our children, that thy Sabbath day may be kept holy, and that thou may work with might in the midst of us. Forgive, forgive all that was sinful this day. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 275, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou, O Lord, art God alone. Everlasting is thy throne. Through the ages men shall sing praise to heaven's eternal King. Thou, enthroned above the skies, wilt for Zion's help arise. Let thy grace to her appear, for the promised time is near. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 275. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.